Täällä Pekka Palvikenkku ja tänään tutkitaan ruoka-alan kotimaisuutta. Lastauslaiturille on juuri saapunut Valioaimon tukkutoimitus.
Hei kuljettaja, minne teidän tuotot menevät?
Valio on suomalaisten maidontuottajien omistama ja siksi Valioaimon tuotot jäävät Suomeen. Olen Aimo, ruoka-alan ammattilaisten kumppani. Kun valitset minut, tuet kotimaisia maitotilallisia. Valioaimo. Onnistumisen ainekset.
Kyllä, kyllä.
Tervetuloa kuuntelemaan IAB:n podcastia Konversio-optimisteja. Mä tein tänään aamulla jotain, mitä oli tapana tehdä pari vuotta sitten, silloin kun ChatGPT tuli käyttöön. Niin mä kysyin ChatGPT:ltä, koska en ole ikinä ennen tehnyt sitä, kysyin, että mitä se tietää IAB:n podcast-konseptista, eli konversio-optimisteista. Ja ChatGPT vastasi mulle näin. Konversio-optimistit keskittyy digitaalisen markkinoinnin ajankohtaisiin aiheisiin ja trendeihin. Podcastissa käsitellään selkeällä tavalla digimainonnan ja markkinoinnin innovaatioita ja käytännön vinkkejä. Keskustelijoina ovat alan asiantuntijat ja IAB Finlandin jäsenet, jotka jakavat näkemyksiä ja kokemuksiaan. Konversio-optimistit tarjoaa käytännönläheistä sisältöä markkinoinnin ammattilaisille ja niille, jotka haluavat parantaa digitaalisen markkinoinnin tehokkuutta ja tuloksellisuutta. Tällä teemalla ajateltiin jatkaa siis tänäänkin, ja meillä on asiantuntija vieraita kaksi kappaletta, yksi Finkinolta ja yksi jännittävästi Cinematastikilta. Meniköhän se ääntäminen oikein?
Meni ihan tarpeeksi.
Joo. Ja hei, mun nimi on Pasi Raassinen, IAB:n toimari Suomessa. And we have two guests today. We have Mika and Mikkel. Would you like to introduce yourselves to our listeners? Mikkel, would you like to start because you are kind of not the main guest, but the main star, maybe.
Appreciate it. Thanks. It's so rare that I'm named the star of a show. But okay, my name is Mikkel Hagedorn, and I'm the founder of Cinematastic. I started in the media business at OMD back in 1997. Been doing more or less all different jobs at a media agency, from analytics to buying to planning, director and so forth. I then founded a company called Data Intelligence. We were the first company in Europe to work with econometric modeling. So applying neural network and regression analysis to calculate return on investment. And back then in the beginning of 2000, no one in the advertising business talked about return on investment. Okay, maybe Goldman Sachs, but nobody in the media agency business. But this company was quite successful, and I think I learned a lot about advertising effect by working with Data Intelligence, but it was eventually acquired by WPP and Mr. Martin Sorrell in 2007, and we became a part of Group M. So I worked with Group M doing my earnout, and then I got the position as head of innovation. Okay. And one of the first things I founded was a conference called NextM. And NextM, it became a Group M thing in about 14, 15 markets. It was here in Helsinki as well.
Yeah, I'll be visiting NextM.
All right, good. Yeah. Hope you liked it. But the whole idea with NextM was that this was kind of, you know, what's between technology and creativity? How do you merge the two? How do you use the fact that you are digital to create something that gives, you know, an experience to the end user? And my boss back then, the Nordic CEO of Group M, he told me that it was not possible to make an ad that people liked. So, and that was when I started thinking, you know, okay, I'll prove him wrong. I'll try to invent a format that people actually like.
And that was Leffapeli.
And that became Leffapeli.
Okay. We will talk more about Leffapeli in a couple of minutes, but thanks for the quite long introduction.
Sorry,
Mika. No worries. You are the special guest star today, but we have also Mika here.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Sam, Mika.
Hey, men, hey. my resume is not that big or remarkable as Mikkeli's, but yes, I'm Mika Wikström. I'm the head of sales of Finkino, and I've been working just about 10 years in Finkino, and I have a background before Finkino. I worked with the MTV3 and Sub TV, so about 15 years experience on the media market so far, and now. In the past 4.5 years, has been worked as I said the head of sales, who's in charge of the media part of the Finkino, and also other B2B areas like meeting and events and retail business and so on.
Okay, 10 years, Mika. Time flies.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember when you started at Finkino. But let's start with the very basics, Mika. Are people going to movies, and what are the biggest topics or movies at the moment on the rest of the year?
Yes, absolutely. People are going to the movies, and as we have proven time and time again, when the big titles come, the big masses come as well. Yeah. This year, the past few years have been rough for the cinema industry. First, there was a long halt of course. Cinemas were closed and productions were closed and so on. So that created kind of a backlog on the content side. And also last fall, there was a big strike in Hollywood with the writers and actors, which also prolonged some of the titles. But now which affected the earlier part of this year. But in Finland, we have the privilege that the Finnish people love Finnish movies. Okay. And our domestic films are very strong. So our Q1, if you compare to Sweden, their Q1 on attendance wasn't that great because the big Hollywood blockbusters, there was pretty much just Dune 2, and that was it. But we had a really strong domestic slate. We had Myrskyllinen Maija, Luottomies, Kyllä Isä Osaa, so we had a great Q1. And also last year, the Barbenheimer phenomenon in summer. Proves that that when the content is great, people will come to the cinemas. And the end of the year is looking very strong. There's it's October, almost October now. So Joker 2 is coming out next week. I think that will be the biggest movie of the fall. Then there's going to be Gladiator 2, Mufasa. Yeah, the live action Lion King. Okay. So the father of Simba. So movie from
great,
Mufasa.
Great.
Vaiana 2 for families, and then. Then a great domestic movie, which I, and especially most likely my mom, is waiting quite a lot, which is called Levoton Tuhkimo. It's about Dingo, the band in the 80s. So I will definitely go to that movie with my mom.
Oh, great. All right. Yeah. And the Barbenheimer.
Yeah, Barbenheimer.
It was two movies.
Yeah, so
Barbie
and Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Yeah. So last year, summer, like June, July, August, there was over 2 million visits in Finnish cinemas, which were mainly because of those two movies.
Okay. Great. Thanks, guys. IAB podcast always focus on digital advertising and digital marketing, but is your media cinema advertising, is it digital?
Absolutely, it's digital. But we have the, if you go with the products that we have, we have the basic on-screen advertising, which I will go to in a minute. And then on the top of that, we have the digital out-of-home network in our cinemas and, of course, online and apps and so on. But now I'm going to slowly transfer the conversation to Mikkel, because especially the on-screen advertisement, I can't remember, 10 or 15 years ago, started to... we did the digital conversion from having the ads on the 35mm physical film in the engine room and just convert that to digital form. So then we made the digital conversion. But ever since 2016, late 2016, we brought another product to our on-screen advertisement, another format. which was Leffapeli, and then we actually made the digital transformation to the cinema. And now, now with all the because the mass of the Leffapeli players and the data we have is so big, Mikkel has also created a few other products around the whole Leffapeli, which he can tell more. But absolutely, we are digital. Yeah.
Mikkel, have you invented Leffapeli?
Yes.
Oh.
Guilty.
Guilty. What is the story behind Leffapeli?
Well, actually, as I said before, my old boss at Group M, he didn't believe that we were able to make an ad format that people would like.
Yeah.
And we had an opportunity to test some new digital equipment, where we were able to use a game server and then connected with a just a basic app. And then play it out via the projector on the screen, and in the beginning it was just a red dot and a green dot, and we tested it if you were able to control your dot via the mobile. And then we made a simple game, and we had a test, and people played the game, and then when the winner came up on the screen, people in the audience, they started applauding.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we thought, okay, maybe we got something here, right? If we can make a 9-minute ad, 450 seconds, the world's longest advertising format, and we can have people applauding it, then we got something right.
Okay.
Right? And even today, if the Leffapeli for some reason is not on, we get in our support mail, we get complaints for users because the Leffapeli game was not on.
Yeah.
And I mean, how many times do you think the TV stations get complaints if their ads are not on, right? I mean, it kind of shows us that we are doing something right, I think.
Yeah. So people are really, really playing the Leffapeli. Do we have some figures?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have over 500,000 players annually in Finland.
Okay.
And
okay.
We have in the Leffapeli app, which you need to have the separate app to play the game. There we have active users about 700,000 to 800,000.
That's quite active. Heavy.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And users are over 1.2 million. But I think the active devices is more telling than the actual amount of users.
Yeah. I haven't been playing Leffapeli myself many times, and I have been finished in the second place 2 times. I think that's quite heavy.
But unfortunately, you don't get your face on the screen when you're
second. That is true. Yeah. Is it so that before you can play Leffapeli, you have to install an app?
Yes. So you need to download the Leffapeli app first.
Okay.
And you need to, of course, give permission to how we handle and control your data. You need to give us your gender and your age.
Yeah.
Now, important to say that as one of the few media, we are not sharing data with anyone.
Okay. Yeah.
And that has been like a basic principle from when we started the company, that we are not sharing user data.
Mm.
And we don't have to.
Yeah. What kind of possibilities Leffapeli gives to advertisers and for example, to Mikaso, what kind of advertisers has been using Leffapeli
environment? Leffapeli has been used very broadly, so it's not just FMCG products, for example, that have been using. We have had mailing services, we've had banks, and we've had, then we of course had those FMCG products. So it's very, very, we have had streaming services and so a lot of variety on, because it's pretty much just the idea. What's the main message that you want to push through? Then if you just want to engage, have the audience engage for nine minutes for the, with your ad, then that's the possibilities. And for us, why we took the chance in 2016 to install the Leffapeli was especially the experience side, that because cinema itself is an experience.
Yeah.
We improve our auditoriums and our concession and all, so that when people come into our cinemas and watch the movie and buy the popcorn and also, it's an experience. And this way also the actual advertisement is very strong. And now after 8 years, it's actually established itself as a part of the cinema experience. So as Mikke said, we actually get customer complaints when the cinema game is not on, and kids are young people are running to the cinema because they are afraid that they will they are too late.
Yeah,
that they miss the game.
Yeah, yeah. No time to play Leffapeli. Mikkel, is Leffapeli something that you are running only in Finland, or is it possible to play in other countries as well?
We are in 8 markets now. Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Ireland, Portugal, Germany, New Zealand, Australia. And entering, you know, more and more markets. Not only because of Leffapeli, but also because of some of the other products that we have developed that are based on the data that we get from Leffapeli.
Okay, and you have something other than Leffapeli as well.
Yes, so Leffapeli is, as we said, you know, the world's longest advertising format, and that also gives you kind of the opportunity to a lot of brands, a lot of products. They are made up by more than one USP, right? Mm. You can have a car. It could be an electrical car, and maybe in your 1.5 second on Facebook attention, you can maybe in your ad you can say it's electric, right? Mm. But a car is not only an electrical car. It also has a sunroof, and it has a parking back video, and it has sensors, and it has, you know, a lot of things. So a product is made up with a lot of USPs. And you very, very rarely get to promote all your USP in one ad because of time, because you have a maximum of, let's say, 30 seconds. But with the cine game, you have both the lobby when people are signing in, and you also have during the game where you have the opportunity to show your long format content.
Yeah.
And you are able to promote the entire product. And on top of that, everyone who plays the cine game, they get a digital voucher in the app, and this voucher is the conversion point to whatever you are, as an advertiser, you want to convert to. So you can convert your users to retail footfall, give a discount that you have to go down to the shop to redeem, to concession sales if you are a product that is in the cinema concession, to web downloads, to call center leads, to newsletter leads, you know. Every single digital conversion point we can now do for cinema as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mika, what can you tell about the campaigns itself when it comes to Leffapeli? How long they are? Can you choose a different movies?
We sell Leffapeli by monthly. Okay. Monthly, so 4-week periods, and you can target it. We have three different ways to target the Leffapeli. You can buy it in total, which means that during that month you're in all of our screenings, or then you can split it to adults or family. So those are pretty much the only things that we have. So we either just have the family movies, or all the other than family movies, which is the adults.
Okay. Final question about the Leffapeli, Mikkel. Is there something new coming to Leffapeli in upcoming months or weeks or something like
that? Yes. So last year we launched the advertising format called CineCard. It was something that I invented during COVID when I was a little bit bored. But it's a very, very sweet format. It's if you go to the Leffapeli app, you can choose a template, and then you can make a card for the person that you are going to the cinema with. So we have to remember that 93% of everyone going to the cinema, they go with someone else. So it's a social event. It's a shared experience. And this is one of the strengths of the cinema. But with this cine card, I can, for instance, Pasi, if we go together and it's your birthday, I can choose the birthday template. And I can say to Pasi from Mikkel, my good friend, podcast friend. And then when we have played the Leverbelly,
yeah,
then suddenly this envelope flies in up on the screen and it opens and yeah, the birthday card to Pasi comes up.
Very nice.
Right?
Yeah.
And this can also be used by advertisers. You know, you can be a travel company, yes, who will send a postcard to the audience or something else. And when you have the Cinecard as an advertiser, then as soon as the Cinecard is shown, yeah, it's only a 10-second exposure, but as soon as it's shown, it says cling, and in your Leverbelly app, there's a voucher for the brand,
yeah,
that you can then use as your conversion point again.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, sure. And then right now, we are looking for the first agency advertiser to be the first to test our programmatic platform. So we have just launched a new trade desk, our own trade desk. So it's a trade desk where agencies and advertisers, they can go directly and they can book their ads to a and their campaigns directly.
Okay.
They don't have to convert the format as you do on traditional cinema.
Yeah.
It's a regular MP4 file, like you know, connected TV or YouTube or wherever you advertise. So it's exactly the same format, and you just upload it, drag and drop it to your trade desk, and then you get a voucher, and you can add a link to the voucher so that you will be able and so when you're a programmatic ad, mm-hmm, once it's showed on the screen. Again, it says cling, and then you get a voucher from the advertiser that can be converted.
Okay.
So, should I take 2 seconds to tell you how it works?
Do you mean the programmatic,
yes,
part? Yes, and that was kind of a launch of our podcast's second topic, programmatic cinema advertising.
Because you know, actually, we are more or less doing it exactly the same way as you do it on a regular digital media, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, about 15% of the audience, they play Leverbelly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the three of us, we go to the cinema, we go to Tennis Palazzi in screen 3.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we log on, I know that the three of us,
yes,
we are sitting in this specific cinema hall, right?
Yep.
And I have our data. I know, you know, our gender, our age. I know where we are. I know what mobile device we have and an operator. And I can take these data and I can then combine the data with everyone else who have been playing the Leverbelly at other screenings,
mm-hmm,
at screenings up north or in Denmark or in Australia or wherever, and I add that data also to my database, and I also add data from IMDb, the movie profile,
mm-hmm,
and then our audience model, it makes an extrapolation to the entire audience. We are connected with the admission, so we know exactly how many people are in,
yeah,
the cinema hall. We then make a profile, a profile of the audience, and then we match this profile up against the bookings in the trade desk.
Okay.
So let's say that you are McDonald's, you want men in a specific age. If I have an overrepresentation of that segment in this number 3 at Tennis, mm-hmm, Palazzi, then in real time, I take the McDonald's ad, and then I play that, and it says cling, and you get 50% on your next cheeseburger.
All right.
That you can go and redeem,
yeah,
on the restaurant.
Yeah.
I think I almost followed every step, but the basic picture is
in
quite
principle
clear.
It works.
Yeah.
You know, pretty similar to regular advertising. You know, we have a very very robust model because 15% is quite a large sample.
Actually, it's quite good.
It's, yeah, about 500,000. Times larger than the old TV meters,
yeah,
in terms of sample.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, so it's to compare. Really.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Pretty robust sample.
Yeah.
So you could say that until we know who's sitting in the auditorium,
yeah,
we don't know what ads we're gonna play.
Yeah.
We make that decision in real time. And it's that's the same, you know, when you go into a website, you know, you will get, they will get your cookie data and decide what ad to play. That also happens in a millisecond in real time. And it's pretty much the same for cinema in the way we have set it up, right? Yeah. The only difference here compared to other media is that you get a voucher. Right? And you have this conversion point as well. Right? You don't get a voucher, for instance, when you are in with connected TV or digital out of home, you don't. There's no digital conversion point, and we have made sure that we have that for cinema, and we have seen some amazing results so far.
Okay, are you also already now live with programmatic in some countries?
Yes, since December 2022. We have been in. We have tested it in Denmark with the Nordic Film Cinemas, and now we have launched it here in with Finkino. So we have the first cases from Denmark, and we are ready now to do the first advertising campaigns with advertisers in Finland now.
All right. Is it so, Mika?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, excellent. we teased about this. I think it was almost a year ago. We teased about this in we did a tour on media agency where we teased that this is something that is coming up and
now is the time.
Yeah. Now the product is ready. So.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So waiting for the first customers. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Cinema advertising is kind of a different than other video channels. I think it's. Most of the channels are kind of a one-to-one channels, but cinema is one-to-many channels. Does it? Is it just like outdoor advertising is one-to-many channel? How do you see? Is it the advantage for advertiser or a little bit weakness?
I think maybe it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
It's a difficult answer, difficult question to answer,
yeah.
Because you know. First of all, one-to-one can be super, super strong if you have really good data, right? If you have purchase data or data points that are very, very close to where you want to convert your user, you know, one-to-one data, and especially if you can be very agile in terms of what content to show, it can be very strong. But I think, you know, also... we have to remember that that cinema is a shared experience, and there is something very, very strong about being a shared experience. The thing that you can discuss something with the person that you are in together with in the cinema, and also I think we have to remember that relevance is not the only key to getting great conversions. Right, we usually say one-to-one, we will be able to serve the right content so it become relevant so that we can get conversions. But we also have to remember user motivation. You know, what is my motivation for getting involved with this brand? And I have absolutely no motivation for clicking on a display ad. Okay, but in the cinema, when I've been playing the Lefapelli game for 9 minutes, I have been involved with the brand. I am motivated for the brand, and this is part of the equation. But we very, very rarely discuss motivation as part of the drivers for digital conversion, and it's a shame because we keep on talking about content is king, and we don't talk too much about format. And in my opinion, that's where traditional media, they have missed out. They have been so focused on just being able to serve content and not focusing on, you know, how do we use the fact that we are digital to make a transformation where we can involve the user and make sure that the user is motivated for a brand message. And I think that's where we succeed. And that's also, and I promise you, that when you do a Lefapelli campaign or if you do one of our digital campaigns, you will see a huge difference from when you do a display campaign.
As medias become digital, all of them will be digital at some point. And now it might be time for cinema advertising to be digital. And there's always two topics which come under discussions when it comes to media buying, I think. One topic is is that if you think about the media agencies, and now you, Mikkel, you have some experience already, who will buy the programmatic cinema advertising? Is it TV planner or digital planner or someone else?
Hopefully digital cinema planners.
Okay.
We would like, but you know, we kind of acknowledge that we are 1% of the total media spent, so probably not. But I think it would probably be TV buyers in the beginning, but then slowly I think it will move to the digital buying.
Okay.
I think that will be the future of digital cinema, that it will end up with the digital buyers, depending also on what type of campaign objects. I mean, is it a CPC campaign or is it a CPA campaign? You know, as I said, we can deliver CPAs because of the digital vouchers. So if you have a CPA digital campaign that is based on a CPA goal, then you can add cinema now, right? And then it becomes, I think, more relevant for a digital planner than for a TV planner.
Yeah. In most of the cases, if you think about digital out of home or digital audio, I have the feeling, and with lots of discussion in very, very developed countries, that it should be in the longer run the digital planners. But let's see.
Maybe even more for cinema, because you could say that cinema, we know exactly how many people who are watching that.
Yeah.
Okay, because they have been paying 10 euros to get in. So we know exactly how many people. I mean, for digital out of home, you know, it's a big, to be honest, it's a lot of guessing. You know, you put your placement and then you have a multiplier. The same thing you do for TV conversions. You also, you know how many screens you have played on, but you need a multiplier. For cinema, we don't have a multiplier. We know exactly how many clicks, how many exposures that we have. So I think it's more similar actually to YouTube, for instance, in terms of the instrumentality and in terms of how it should be handled in a digital perspective.
Second discussing point is usually the technical setup. So of course it should be working for both of the agencies and the medias. But any ideas what will be the optimal setup when it comes to DSPs and SSPs? And is there once again a media with their own tools that you have to learn?
Yeah, I mean, of course, the agencies, they prefer if we are integrated in some of the DSPs that they already have seats to. So we will in 2025 we will be part of DV360.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But we will also, and we have discussed this with Google. That we will also introduce, and that's what we have introduced now. We have introduced our own trade desk. And we are doing that because as soon as you involve Google or any other of the DSP SSPs, you know that part of your advertising budget will go to the platforms.
That is true.
So in order to have 100% transparency, in order to have $1 paid going to $1 of advertising, we have introduced our own trade desk.
Okay.
Now, we totally respect that some agencies, they don't want to bother to take the time to book it via our trade desk.
Yeah.
We understand that. So there will be the opportunity to, or we will be available in DV360, but we will also have our own trade desk available.
Yeah. Thanks, Mikkel. As a last topic, I think we should discuss a little bit about trends. And the future, is there, Mika, some future digital trends that you and Fink, are looking very, very closely at the moment?
At the moment, one trend that we are looking very, very closely and are extremely interested in is all the talk around attention.
Because surprising.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, because yes. And the other thing is of course AI.
Yeah.
I understand the attention part, but the AI goes way over my head. So that's why I have types of people like Mikkel around me. So so they know more about the AI.
Okay. Okay, Mikkel.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, we are applying already. We are applying AI for a lot of the tasks that has to be done, for instance, in very fast in real time, where we don't have time to, for instance, with our audience model, we have to extrapolate and to give weights to the different segments in very, very fast in order to match it up, to see if there are any campaigns that are matching it up in order to play them out. So we don't have time for people to get involved. Mm. So we are using AI modeling, or it's machine learning, but a part of AI, we're using machine learning, applying machine learning in order to be able to do these audience profiling and extrapolations very, very fast. And we use, you know, we use it as tool right now. And I think a lot of companies, they are using and seeing AI as different tools that you can apply here and there. And it's more or less the same. It's more less the same than when we had the digital transformation. You know, it started out with small digital tools and then everybody suddenly became digital and then connected. Mm. And the same going to go for AI. First, we're going to do all the working with the different tools. And then suddenly when we all have applied the tools can start, you know, working in a network. So I think that's going to be the future. And of course, if you have the tools and if you are ready for that, then you will have an advantage in terms of being distributed and being connected. Mm. So, you know, we are following that very, very closely, obviously. But I also think that in terms of the attention part and in terms of what cinema has always been about the long format, when I was a young media planner, we would always start with cinema in the 60-second and then we would do cutdowns on TV, right? And I think, you know...
And YouTube.
And like YouTube or whatever. Yeah. But that was before YouTube. Yeah. But anyway, you know, I think what will... The new black will be, you know, a higher focus on quality. Mm. We have seen so many click frauds and bad cases. And I think that a lot of advertisers, they are returning to quality. They are saying, okay, less is sometimes better. Mm. So I agree with Mika. I think cinema has a future.
Yeah. I think so too. Thank you, guys. You really like to talk, which is good.
Yeah. Well, time is up.
Time is up. And I have been learning quite much about cinema advertising, and most likely listeners will be learning quite much as well. Any final words to our listeners? Mika, would you like to start?
Final words. Final words of wisdom. Well, maybe the sales guy kicks in, but I really encourage everybody to join and do the first test, the first pilot on the programmatic cinema. So get the first results in and then that start from there.
Yeah, good. What about you, Mick?
Well, for all the digital planners and advertisers and CMOs out there, you know, don't forget user motivation. Yeah. I think it's an overlooked part of how we do media planning. And I think it deserves more focus. That's it.
Yeah, great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Täällä Pekka Palvikenkku ja tänään tutkitaan ruoka-alan kotimaisuutta. Lastaus laiturille on juuri saapunut Valioaimon tukkutoimitus.
Hei kuljettaja, minne teidän tuotot menevät?
Valio on suomalaisten maidontuottajien omistama ja siksi Valioaimon tuotot jäävät Suomeen. Olen Aimo, ruoka-alan ammattilaisten kumppani. Kun valitset minut, tuet kotimaisia maitotilallisia. Valioaimo. Onnistumisen ainekset.
Kyllä, kyllä.